I like that we're trying to match synchronize, our shoulder
yes.
dance.
I don't like, chart. Wait yes. a minute, left, right?
Synchronized shoulders. Da, da, da.
Hit the damn record.
Hit the damn record. See where it records something. Yeah.
Hi everyone, welcome to Unlikely Friends Podcast.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
My name is Desma.
And my name is David.
And we're so likely that you are here to join in our unlikely journey. David, yes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's a little bit hot today, but I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yes. I'm great. Tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Right. Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is David. I am from the United States, New Jersey, exactly. And put some respect on New Jersey's name. We are not the armpit of America.
Dang, geese. Dang.
I know, because of that stupid Jersey Shore. You know, people put, you know, they don't want to put respect on our name. Come on now. Anyway.
I love Jersey Shore.
I didn't like it because people think that, you know, like, you're from the Jersey, you talk like this. It's like, no, nobody says Jersey. People who aren't from Jersey say Jersey.
Right.
Nobody from New Jersey says Jersey. Mm-hmm. Oh, because I tell people I'm from New Jersey, like, oh, you're from Jersey. I'm like,
what's Jersey?
And I'm like, deuces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a singer, dancer, actor, performer, clearly. This is what I wanted to do, my whole life. And actually I still do it, but, to survive, I have a normal job teaching English here in Istanbul, where I met Desma. Music is my life. I can't live without music. Dancing, I can live without, getting older now. Theater, you know, it's always something to do on the side. But music is my life. I can't live without music. I absolutely can't live without music. So, yeah. And this is where Istanbul, doing a musical, is where I met this sweet person right here. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. My name is Desma, and I'm from South Carolina. I like to claim two different places, Myrtle Beach and Charleston, because I spent a pretty good amount of time in both of them as a young person. And... or like Dirty Myrtle is basically where I grew up. The Dirty Myrtle. It's yeah, that's what we call it anyway. The very cheesy place to grow up, but it was nice. And I studied education and I worked in a children's museum briefly while I was in Charleston, South Carolina. And then some things happened and I ended up teaching abroad in South Korea, and then some other things happened, and I ended up teaching abroad here in Istanbul. And during my time, my beginning time here, I got into the theater, and that's how I met David.
Yeah.
And we met.
Yeah, we met. And we met. And, you know, I think people are wondering, it's like, okay, you guys met abroad, so why are you unlikely friends? Well, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Let's tell it like it is. It's very rarely or very rare that, you know, a Southern white gal or a Southern is going to be friends with a Black man from the North. I mean, how? Yeah, but seriously, I mean, we have to be honest about it. Of course, everybody, don't come for me. Yes, it does happen. It absolutely happens, but very rarely. Very, very rarely. So, and, you know, my grandmother is from the South. My grandmother's from Alabama, my mother's mother. And she would all, as a child, she would always tell us, you know, horror stories about, you know, how Black people were treated in the South and all that. Because she was there during, you know, the segregation and Jim Crow laws and all that good stuff.
Imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to dive into that because I'm curious about that.
Yeah, we'll touch on it a little bit today. So I always had those horror stories in the back of my mind. So when I first met you and you were like, 100% cornbread, hi, my name's Desma. And I was like, oh, my God.
Don't talk like that, do I?
No,
oh,
you don't.
Man.
No, you don't. I'm teasing. I was just, because no, the I'm first not. Thing I was like, I'm I was not. Like, oh my God, she's from the South. So I automatically thought, not even knowing you, but automatically I'm like, because of what the things my grandmother told me, it's like white people from the South don't like black people. So, yeah. So
to have that kind of reputation. I hope some of that's cleared up by now. But I mean,
Desma, I've had you for a friend ever since 2006. I mean, or 2007.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. A long time.
When did we do Rocky?
Oh,
is that 2007 or 2008?
Yeah, our first musical together was Rocky Horror Picture Show. And
that must have been 2007 or
2008. 1987.
Like that.
It feels like a long time ago.
She's like 1969.
My knees were younger back then.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's how long I've known you. I mean, I don't think of that way about you now, of course. And, you know, these are legitimate fears that, you know, some black people have. About, you know, white people from the South. And not to say that we're like running around all scaredy, but, you know, we have to be aware of our surroundings, because a lot of people also don't know this, that, you know, when affluent or middle class black people wanted to travel in the United States, the NAACP had a pamphlet that was handed out to all black families, all middle class black families on where to go and where not to go in the United States as a black person. Can you believe that?
So like a Michelin guide to how to be safe as
for black people in your own country, where you can go, where you can't go.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was when my aunt told me about this, because she was going to go on some kind of trip somewhere, and I believe it was my mother or my father, I can't remember. It's like, do you have your travel guide with you? You know, let you know where you can go, where you can't go. Mm. And she's like, oh, you know, I don't have it. And I was wondering, I was like, what does that even mean? I was like, we should be able to go. And I was young. I had no idea. You know, you don't think about those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what does that even mean? He's like, can't go. Yeah. Like, and I didn't realize that until much, 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 much later in life. Yeah. There are places that we could not travel to. It's like, if you were driving somewhere in your car, don't stop in this town. You will be lynched.
Oh my God.
You know? Yeah.
That's so crazy. And that was, I mean, the thing about those kinds of stories that still kind of baffles me is that that wasn't that long ago. Like, don't throw away in terms of
it
history.
It was literally in the 50s and 60s. I mean, this is literally 65 years ago.
That's wild.
And it's not that long ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Gosh. Well, so what we're going to be talking about on this podcast is basically things like this. So we've got all kinds of different things that we're going to be talking about, but let's talk about current up-to-date things, different funny things that we know about.
Food.
David is an amazing baker. We'll be talking a little bit about food.
I love to cook. I really love to cook.
Yeah. And you're so good at it. That's really great.
Only because I like to eat.
Listen, I like to eat too, but I have zero interest in cooking. I have no, I'm like the ultimate girl's dinner all the time. Crackers, cheese, salad. That's it. Like, I just don't care.
What do they call those? It was a charcuterie boards or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's my whole life.
She's like, charcuterie boards with some grapes on there, some brie, some parmesan, not parmesan. Well, you could eat parmesan, like the hard parmesan. It's like,
yeah.
But you know what? You're lucky. You get to eat all of those cheeses. Although we're both lactose intolerant, I cannot.
Fun fact.
I cannot eat cheeses the way you eat cheeses. And I'm like,
I'm lucky. Damn it. I'm lucky.
I'm just a little too black to eat cheese. But my sister isn't, though. I'm the only one in my family that's lactose intolerant.
So, okay. So I have to tell you something. I I was watching, okay, I don't care anything about sports. I don't care anything about it. I do not care. I don't care about football. I don't care about soccer. I don't care about baseball or anything. I am in love with the Olympics, and I always have been, and I just am crazy about it. I know that Olympics is problematic. It can be, you know, in terms of, you know, the U.S. I mean, you just look at the opening ceremonies. You look at the U.S. and how many people we have on, like, the boat that was going through, like, 50,000 of us. There's, like, 400 Olympic people that were, you
but
know,
can I just
athletes.
Say something? Can I interrupt you just for a second? I mean,
please.
I am not really an Olympics person like you. Mm-hmm. I'm not like you. You like the Olympics. I'm not really an Olympics person. I mean, if I hear about it, it's like, hey, we want to go. Woohoo. If we didn't win a gold, woohoo. I'm indifferent
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But my sister is really, really into it. And I said to myself, okay, this year I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to watch the, you know, because
yeah,
I like to watch
yeah,
the gymnastics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The artistry in the gymnastics is just next level.
Anyway.
It's like level 10, level 11, if you will. And I also like to watch. The fencing when I get a chance to watch it. It's like, wow! It's like because it's really delicate. Anyway, after the opening ceremony, and people made such a stink about it, it turned me off. It literally turned me off.
What
because
was the stink
all of
about
these...
the opening?
Well, because it was so controversial, it's like, oh, they can't do that to Jesus Christ and blah, blah, blah,
oh,
and yip, yip,
gosh.
Yip, and yup, yup, yup.
I'd forgotten about that.
And that
yes,
turned
know,
me off. It turned
I
me
know.
Off. And it was like, you know, you hear all of these right-wing pundits in the United States.
Goodness
yeah,
me.
How can they do that to Leonardo da Vinci, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, when Leonardo da Vinci painted that, do you know everybody hated that painting because they thought it was sacrilegious? And everybody's like, oh, it's so sacred. It's so sacred. It's like, no, it's not. It's a painting full, a table full of white European men cosplaying as Middle Easterns. Shut up.
Right. I mean, it's interesting. I totally forgotten about that.
It turned me off.
And
it turned me off completely.
Listen, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was beautifully done. There were so many lovely things that they did. In the beginning, I mean, it was totally different than anything anybody's ever done. That was great. Anyway, but it can be problematic, definitely, because you see how many athletes are, you know, playing for the U.S. And then you see a small country that doesn't have as much opportunity or as much wealth or healthcare or any of that. And there's like two people that are there and that's it. And that's for the entire ceremony. It's all they have is two people in whatever
wow.
games they decide. So it's, it can be problematic. I understand that. And the thing with me is the Olympics is I don't really care whether or not the U.S. wins. That's not why I'm watching. I'm watching because I'm excited for the underdog. I'm excited. People win and they're crying in front of their families. I'm sitting there crying too. I'm like, oh my gosh, you deserve it. You really worked hard, you know, like, and I cheer everybody on because I just, you know, I think it's
and
wonderful.
The other thing that made me angry about the Olympics is when they were going in on that that Algerian boxer. I was like,
oh gosh,
what
that's
is
a
wrong
whole other
y'all?
Conversation we could have.
What
is
wrong
just,
with
I
y'all?
Mean, whatever
people,
whatever,
you know,
whatever.
It just makes me crazy and it turned me off. And I think that
hey,
that
she
boxing
won gold.
Match was like,
did you see?
Yeah, she did win, right?
Yeah, she won.
I mean, everything isn't political. Everything isn't political. And I just, it makes me angry. It makes me a loss for words, as you can see, when, you know, right wing pundits make everything political. It just takes the fun out of life. It just sucks the air out of the room. And they're successful at it because I was completely turned off from watching the Olympics. I was completely turned off.
Well, don't let it turn you off this time. But I'm going to make you watch something really quick.
Okay.
So I watched a couple days ago, I watched the female breakdancing in the Olympics. Did you know that it was a sport this year?
I, you know, it's funny that you said something because my sister posted something on Facebook. My sister posted something on Facebook. She said that she didn't know that breakdancing was an Olympic sport. And I'm like, I didn't know either. How can breakdancing be an Olympic sport? Are you kidding me?
Well, it's incredibly athletic. And the things that these guys do and these women do are unbelievable. Like the head spinning and the turning. I don't know much about like all of the little, I don't know what they're called. I just, the head spinny thing and the crazy backwards move. And that's what I would call it.
I mean, I have my druthers about that because, you know, breakdancing was something that was formulated by, you know, the inner city kids in New York.
Right.
Who weren't allowed to go into the, you know, these were the people that were not allowed to go into, you know, Studio 54 at that time. They weren't allowed into the limelight. They weren't allowed.
Yeah.
And they would dance on the street because, you know, that's where they had their parties.
Busters. And
now all of a sudden it's been taken from that to the Olympics without our representation.
I know. So I was watching it and I was legitimately excited about watching this and saying, oh my gosh, I mean, dancing in the Olympics, how cool is that? I mean, we've got everything from like shooting to like synchronized swimming, which, hey, listen, I love those swimmers. But like,
wait, you said
dancing,
shooting, but can we make a sidebar and talk about that Turkish guy?
Loved him.
He
loved
just was like,
him.
Boom.
Loved him.
Everybody like, was like, what?
I know. It's
all right,
like
sorry,
just,
go ahead.
No, he was great. For breakdancing to be a part of the Olympics is a really big deal. And I was so excited to watch it. And so I'm sitting there, my mom and I watch it. She's in the States and we both stream it. And so she was watching it. She was like, hey, Desmond, did you know it's on right now? I was like, oh my gosh, I dropped everything. I turned it on and I just kind of sat there stunned. Listen, I've been to breakdancing competitions here in Istanbul, like in clubs.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine invited me to go to them many years ago. And these people in the clubs were pretty good. I mean, they were young kids and they were doing their best and they were doing a great job, you know?
Yeah.
But what I saw mostly was like so disappointing that I just couldn't believe it. And all I could think about were those busters on the streets of New York. All I could think about were those guys in the metro that do those crazy acrobatics.
Yeah.
Like, and are so incredibly talented. And I'm like, did anybody check to make sure the community of breakdancing is cool with this? Because
probably not.
I was like, I just can't even believe there's so many people that know this athletic sport. I mean, it has a history of like martial arts and like capoeira,
well,
kind of like that's
yeah
where it came
I mean
from.
It kind of like came from became popular around that the Bruce Lee era and that song everybody was kung fu fighting, yeah, na, 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 dun, 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 dun. So
and Michael
that,
Jackson made it really popular,
so sorry
Michael Jackson made it really popular,
yeah, you know, well,
you know, like
his
to the forefront,
his dancing
anyway.
Style was actually, and you know, it was actually his dance style was actually inspired by Bob Fosse. So
definitely.
So,
but he had some of those elements of break dancing, and I think that's why it was.
Yeah,
I think. It came to the forefront then. It certainly, he didn't invent it. Definitely
no.
not.
Well, but, I think Michael Jackson was the first one who, you know, came up with that robot thing. And
maybe,
and
yeah.
Robot grew into, you know, people spinning on the floor. So.
Yeah. So anyway, so I watched it and you have not watched any of this. I would like to do is to take a break and you go and watch the winner. Who I think the female winner was from Japan or China. Please correct me. I can't.
Let me check.
I think it was I think it was Japan or China. I'm so bad. I don't remember who won. But then there's another.
Japan.
Okay. Okay. So there's another, and she was quite good. I remember, like athletic and everything. But she was up against this young girl that was wearing a do-rag, David. I can't even. Anyway.
She's wearing a do-rag too. The Japanese girl. Yeah.
Oh, they both were. That's right.
They both wore do-rag.
That's right. David. So like, am I wrong to be like, wait a minute, this is so bizarre.
It's not bizarre. It's culture appropriation.
That. Okay. All right. I was going to say that, but like, you know,
call it what it is. It's culture appropriation.
Fine. It is. That's what I thought too. I was thinking that anyway. So the two girls that were, you know, the silver and gold or whatever, fine. But then there was another lady who also got to the Olympics. She's Australian. And I, you know, a lot of things have been said about her and there's a lot of controversy about her. So just go and watch those two and then we'll come back and then I'll get your reaction because you haven't seen any of this.
No, I haven't seen it. I just,
so this is kind of nice. So you'll actually have the reaction of
an honest reaction.
Yes. Yes. So go ahead and do that and we will stop.
All right, and let me watch.
So we're back now. David, how do you feel about breakdancing in the Olympics? He's speechless. Either he's frozen or he's speechless. I know.
You know,
I know
my grandmother.
A lot
can But can I tell you something my grandmother told me?
I feel like this is going to be good. Okay, please.
My grandmother told me, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it too. And that's all I'm going to say. However,
listen. Yes,
comma, if you do what other people are doing, then you should at least be self-aware enough to know that you are doing a good job of doing what everybody else is doing. Jesus.
I'm so sorry, but you had to watch it. You had to watch it because I turned it on and I sent you a voice clip. I know you were busy that night. You were at kickboxing, but I sent you a voice clip and I was livid. I was livid. I was like, how? Okay. So there are some really impressive dancers. Definitely. I mean, I certainly couldn't spin on my head, but like, how in the world did some of these people get to this place? At the Olympics, you're supposed to be at the top again. Okay. Look at that person. And then look at Simone Biles. Tell me there's not a huge difference there. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Look at those people. And look at my 8-year-old niece.
I don't know how to break dance.
Don't start with me.
I'm not an expert, but holy banana cakes. What was that? And you know what? The LA Olympics already has said, definitely we're not having this. And can you imagine? Like some people... The people that now know that it is an Olympic sport, which I don't think a lot of people did, and I certainly don't think a lot of people in the breakdancing community knew it was going to be eligible this year. I mean, maybe they did, and somebody dropped the ball. But, like, what was that? You're speechless, which is a rare thing for you.
I refuse to comment because I don't have anything nice to say about it.
Okay. That's fair. Okay.
Because, you know, but I will say this. Going back to what my grandmother said, look, just because it's a trend and everybody's doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it too. somebody told these people, oh, you're such a great, you know, hip hop dancer or freestyle, because what they were doing was not really breakdancing. What they were doing is called freestyle. Freestyle is different than breakdancing. Now, if they wanted to get some real breakdancers in there, they should have gotten somebody in the United States from straight off the streets from New York, you know.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what made me so mad. I was so mad because I was thinking of like what I said before, that the Olympics is controversial. It is, yeah, because of finances and whatever. And like, can you imagine those guys in New York that are busting their butts on the street every day and are amazing at it, jumping over each other and
when
stuff.
I see that girl, like, from Australia,
I know.
And I say to myself,
how? How?
I mean, do you, as a nation, insist on embarrassing yourself?
I looked into her a little bit, and let's be fair, she did go through a competition. She did actually qualify according to the standards that they met, you know, like.
And what standards were those?
I guess whatever qualifying standards it takes to be a breakdancer. But I mean, the competition that she did before this Olympic competition looked quite a bit better than what she gave us.
Listen, you know, I'm not going to say.
Maybe it was the pressure. Maybe.
But, you know, I'm not going to say too much about it because, you know, Sister Girl was probably doing things that I probably could not do.
But. Yeah.
It was not to snuff. Let's just put it like that. It wasn't up to snuff. When I saw it, I was like, Something is amiss.
Something definitely is amiss. And it wasn't just her. It was like other competitors too. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, I was watching the Japanese girl who won too. And I was just like, she wasn't doing anything, you know, like, wow, oh my God.
I know. That's why I could not wait. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm texting my mom. I cannot wait to hear what the break dancing community, what the dance community has to say about this, because
they're probably,
oh my
furious.
Gosh.
They're probably,
yeah,
furious.
I bet. And so everybody on like Instagram, Twitter, whatever, like there's a lot of conversation about it. So,
but there's
a
good thing about this now. There's a silver lining in this. That means the next Olympics and the next 4 years is gonna be on.
But they're not doing it. LA already said they're not going to have it.
No. I'm talking about Olympics. Yeah, in the future.
Okay.
It's going to be banging. They're going
to
bring out. Yeah, it's got to. Countries are going to bring out their A list, their A game, and they're going to bring out some real. It's a goal.
Yeah.
It's a goal for the country. So if they're going to bring out their, like, they're A-list dancers. Mm-hmm. Man, come on, it's over.
Do you think, here's an interesting thought. Do you remember, have you ever seen like any of the old like pole vaulting and that kind of thing, where the pole vaulters in like the 1960s, 1970s, all they had to do is run and jump over it. And now people are like doing crazy flips and everything. Do you think this is going to be like our pole vault? This is the one that everybody's like, oh my gosh, they were only doing that? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I hope
this is like the catalyst for, you know, greater things to come, because this was a beep show. I'm sorry.
That's why I sent you that voicemail. I was just fuming. Mm-mm. I was like that Inside Out character, just the red, like,
this wasn't it. This wasn't it. This completely missed the mark. But like I said, this is the catalyst. This is, you know, the benchmark for greater things to come. So,
I hope so.
You know, countries will bring out their, you know, their A game and get some real good dancers to win the gold, because it is a gold medal. Again, it's a gold medal. And if they can get some really good dancers to do this, why not? This year, it was like a practice run.
Listen, it takes a lot, and it takes a lot of guts to go to the Olympics and do it on a world stage. I mean, you know, yeah, wow.
Absolutely.
You have to have a lot of courage. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that.
And, you know, I don't want to say too much. I don't want
to
sound like. Right. I can't do any of the moves that they were doing, you know, not in my age. You know, when I was younger,
I could do
yes.
a crab walk. I could do a crab walk.
I could hop around like a kangaroo. I mean, so I'm not going to say too much about it because they are, what they were doing good. But
right.
on an Olympic level,
yeah,
no.
Right?
No.
I know.
Like if they were at a dance club, I'd be like, okay, girl, go. But
right,
for the Olympics,
right?
I'm like.
Crickets. Yeah. Yeah.
So
tell me, you have this thing that you want to talk about each time that we have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And what is this thing that you want to share?
I was today years old when I learned this.
Okay.
Two things.
So, shoot, please.
The first thing is, it's probably going to blow your hair back like the Bride of Frankenstein.
I'm ready. I'm buckled in.
I'm going to start with this.
Okay.
All the single ladies, 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 all the single ladies. Put your hands up. Now, I don't want to sing too much because we'll get copyright struck it. That song is how old? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we did a musical and it was in it, and it must be
mm-hmm.
at least 10 years.
It's 15 years old.
Bananas.
That song is 15 years
crazy.
Old.
Crazy. I'm old. Please.
Now, take this time and point mm-hmm. and measuring it to that when that song came out.
Right.
That's when 9 states in the United States
uh-huh.
made interracial marriage legal 15 years ago.
15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
9 states.
Mm-hmm. It was still illegal. It was still illegal in 9 states up
okay.
until 15 years ago.
Oh, wait. I want to make sure that I understand. So, like, 9 states, it wasn't legal.
It wasn't legal. No.
What are those 9 states? Do we know? Do we want to talk about it? No. It doesn't matter.
Let's not.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can already guess a couple of them are.
Not trying to receive hate mail. But yeah, it was in 9 states where interracial marriages were illegal.
Okay.
Yeah. So the second one is, so I was 2 days years old. I didn't know that. So my second one is.
I'll look that up because now I have to know what the states are. You guys look it up independently if you want. I definitely will after this.
It might even be more than 9 states, but yeah. Anyway.
Good Lord.
So
okay.
I was 2 days years old when I learned about Red Summer 1919. I don't know if you know what that is. Have you heard of it before?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. It was Red Summer 1919. This was the outbreak of racial violence. Yeah, it was one summer in 1919, and it was racial violence against with white supremacists against black communities in 26 cities. They were called racial terrors. Yeah, it was Red Summer was a period in the mid-1919s during which
okay.
the supremacist terrorism and racial riots occurred in more than 36 cities in the United States. And two of the most known were the one in Arkansas and the one in Chicago. What started it was I think it was a young black man who was 16 or 17 years old, one of those. He was at a swimming area, and it was, of course, the swimming area was segregated. And I'm not sure if it was a beach
right.
or if it was like a swimming pool. But if it was a swimming pool, black people, they weren't letting black people in it. So I'm inclined to think it was probably a beach area. And a white man saw this young black man, he went, you know, a little bit too far into the white area, and okay. They killed him for swimming into that area by accident, I assume. And that's what started it. And it was a literal massacre of hundreds of, I don't want to say millions, but hundreds of black people being injured. And, you know, I think there was somewhere between 37 and 50 people who were killed in these riots. But you know why I bring this up, or why it's like I was today years old when I learned this, because you always hear people, especially, you know, these, I have to say it, these right-wing Christian people who are not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not Christian. If you hate so much, how can you be Christian? But anyway, they're like, oh, no, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and this and that and the other. And it's like, when we did have black communities that were thriving and that were, you know, not looking for handouts, as they think that, you know, black people are always looking for handouts. It's like, you know, these were farming communities. These were black people who owned businesses. These were people who were school teachers, doctors, and they lived in their own community, and they weren't bothering anybody in the white community. So there was no reason for them to go into the white community. But when they saw that these black people were thriving, they were like, oh, them uppity, you know, N-words, we have to put a stop to that, or they'll take over the country. You know, that's how they think. So they went in and they literally, you know, the Tulsa race massacres, the Arkansas race massacres, the riots that happened in Chicago. And, you know, we don't learn about this in school. And that's, I was literally today years old when I heard about Red Summer. Now, I had heard about the Tulsa massacres. I heard about that before.
Yeah.
So I knew about what happened. I also knew about what happened in Chicago, but I had no idea this Red Summer in 1919, that it happened in 26 cities in the United States.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was.
I didn't know about that. Definitely.
We don't learn about it in school because they whitewash it. They whitewash it.
Well,
you know, but they're not going to teach. They're not going to teach, real history in America because it'll make the children feel bad. It's like, it's history.
Yeah,
it's history. How do you think Germans feel when they have to learn about their history? Do you think that, you know,
right.
I mean, come on.
It's ugly, but that's part
of it. It is ugly, but it's history. There's nothing you can do about that. And you know, saying that it didn't happen is not the answer. I digress.
Yeah, putting it under the rug certainly doesn't help.
So I was today years old when I learned that.
Well, I was too. I didn't know about that at all. And
yeah.
I think, you know, it's interesting growing up in the South, like how little I still know about a lot of things. I mean, I certainly have done my own work to read up and to talk and to listen and all of that. But as a child that grew up in the South, I didn't have a lot of experience with Black history, certainly not. And I think we had like, what is it? I think it's February is Black History Month. I'm pretty sure it's February. That was the month that we put up bulletin boards and we talked about Martin Luther King Jr. and like Rosa Parks and now everything is okay. Like, it was like that was it.
And you
Harry
know,
Tubman, it, we talk about Harry Tubman.
It kind of makes me sad
a little
bit.
There's so much more to talk about.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Yes. And it kind of makes me sad because like, you know, we are relegated to a month.
Right. Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about. Certainly a month is not going to cover it. I mean,
we're regulated to a month. And, you know, I'm not saying that this month shouldn't happen. It most certainly should happen. But on the other side, I'm like, why? Why can't it just be all the time?
All the time.
You know, people like, oh, America has the best education system. No, there are gaps.
No.
in American education. There are, I mean, if you ask like the average American is like, where's Lithuania? They would be like, Africa?
Listen, I'm just like that. You don't ask, and I say this all the time.
And
don't
we're ask bad me. At geography.
I know. I'm like, don't ask me. I'm an American. Don't ask me anything about geography. I don't even know where I am right now.
That's true. We are notoriously bad at geography.
It's the
bad
truth.
At geography. And yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have an idea of where things are in the world, but that's mostly because I live on the other side of the world.
I was always, and you know, service is surprising. I was always good at geography because I remember my fifth grade teacher. He was Pennsylvania Dutch. His name was Mr. Klickus.
Oh, I like that name.
Yeah, Mr. Klickus.
That makes me want to ride a horse.
And he was, he had an absolute disdain for me.
Oh, gosh. Right.
Anyway, he thought that he could belittle me one day. And he says, you don't know anything, blah, blah. He says, you probably couldn't find Italy on the map. And I stood right up because I was one of those kids. I would wake up every Saturday and Sunday morning with my bowl of Rice Krispies. And the first thing that I would do is on our shelf, we had like this huge shelf full of, we had two sets of encyclopedias and one Britannica. And in that encyclopedia, and I would just sit there with my bowl of cereal reading the encyclopedia. And my mother and father thought that was weird, but they never said anything about it because they were like, okay, at least the kid is reading, you know?
Right.
He's so I knew where Italy was. And I stood up and I said, shall I show you? He says, yeah, I bet you couldn't find it. And I stood up and I walked straight to the map and I pointed to it. And he was like,
oh. Okay. Jerk.
Yeah. Anyway.
Lovely.
Oh, so, I got to show you something.
Oh, please.
I got to show you something. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Show me. Oh, no, you know what it's going to be. Okay, so if you're just listening and you're not watching, David is an amazing cook. He's an amazing baker. And anytime I go over to his house, he always has a cake or a bread or some sort of delicious baked good. And he has gone and baked something. And now I can't have it because I'm not over at his house right now. Oh my gosh. It is.
This is
something delicious. There's
a
parchment paper.
Chocolate brownie topped with Snickers.
What in the world? Okay, and he's keto, so how in the world did he make it? This is going to be like a mystery. It looks amazing.
That ain't none of your business.
Oh, man. It looks really, really good. Oh, man. Now I'm so sad that I didn't go over to his house to record today, but.
Me and my cakes, right?
Yeah, you and your cakes and your bakes and your delicious yummies.
Well,
is it a cake?
It's a brownie.
Or what is it?
And I had this Snickers bar that was sitting in my refrigerator for God knows how long. I don't know where it came from. I don't know when. It was just there. It's been in my refrigerator for like forever. And I says, well, I got to do something with this. I don't want to throw it away. That would be a waste. So I just cut it up into small pieces and just put it on top. I mean, that'll be my
but it looks amazing. You. It looks amazing. I'll have to come over this week just so I can have some of
if it's still here.
Put some in the freezer.
I didn't even think about that. Me and my greedy ass, I want to eat everything.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for joining in our unlikely journey.
Thank you.
Today.
If you liked what you saw, please hit the like, share, and subscribe button and hit the notification bell so that you'll know when we put up a new video. Ding.
And if you were so kind to listen to this all the way through, that helps the algorithm gods understand that you're really digging it. And if you liked our stuff, let us know. And if you didn't like it, you know, it's up to you, man. Everybody has
but
their own things.
I will say this. Be nice in the comments. Be nice, because my block finger, my block finger is real quick. Okay, so be nice. Seriously.
People that we know and love are very kind.
Right, so we are unlikely friends. Me.
I don't really see you.